earth-shattering missile. This Reuters article published on Tuesday say many in Iraq's once dominant Sunni Muslim minority, it's about 30 to 35% of Iraqis that are Sunnis, the main group in Anbar, which means that this is the issue in Anbar, is that they are Sunnis and the government that we have established in Iraq is Shiite. They share the, and this is ISILs, the Islamic State of Syria, not the Levant, dislike for the Shiite-led government. But tribal leaders in the province are trying to steer a path between the army and al-Qaeda fighters. Now, again, IS is not an al-Qaeda affiliate. They're Sunni Muslim jihadists. That's all they are. They're the same fellows that are fighting in Syria as Sunni Muslim jihadists. And there is no tribal leader in Anbar province that is trying to steer a path between Sunni Muslim fighters and al-Qaeda, because al-Qaeda doesn't have a presence there. Al-Qaeda is just it would be better if Americans had never heard the term and never used the term, because it's irrelevant. Now, this is the myth, however, that was promoted by the Department of Defense, which got America to arm these very same militants that are now deploying those arms as under the name ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. This Reuters article continues. If the army attacks Fallujah to fight the militants, that will have dire consequences on triggering endless violence, says a Sunni tribal leader in Fallujah, that said that it would just continue to spread to other Sunni districts. It would be wholesale massacre. Yeah, unless you're Janet Reno, no one sends in an army to siege and destroy a town of 200,000 to capture a handful of club members who are opposed to your tyrannical rule. Reuters continues, Iraq's U.S.-equipped armed forces have already shelled and launched airstrikes against the residents of Fallujah. Now, our attack helicopters, our Hellfire missiles, our artillery, our tanks have been deployed to kill the civilians of Fallujah. And you wonder why Sunnis don't like us very much. I guess this is the way that Shia and Sunni kiss one another in the religion of peace, Islam. Officials say dozens of militants have been killed and the number of casualties among civilian security forces and tribal fighters is not clear. Well, it's not clear because there's no embedded journalist there. And the reason there's no embedded journalists is because it's an Islamic hellhole. And a free press is not something that they're comfortable with. In fact, they despise a free and open, honest media. But it is like Vietnam. And the reality here is the reason that no one can tell how many militants have been killed versus how many civilians is because the militants are civilians. Just like Vietnam. Now, do you ask the dead, were you my enemy or my friend? Do you ask the dead civilian, were you more civilian or more militant? You know, it's like the death tolls in Vietnam. We had no idea if those we were calling dead were combatants or were they just ordinary civilians. And at least in Vietnam, there were some of them that actually wore uniforms. Where in Iraq, none wear uniforms. There is no Iraqi military. Not except for the Shiite-controlled military that we created. The violence has now underlined how civil war in Syria has inflamed a broader confrontation across the Middle East between Shiite Iran, the main ally of President Bashar al-Assad, and the Sunni powers like Saudi Arabia, which back the Syrian rebels. In actuality, the opposite is true. When a journalist presents as truth the opposite of what has actually occurred, we have a serious problem. The violence has underlined the cause of the Syrian civil war, It has not inflamed a broader confrontation, except for the fact that the invasion of Iraq is what led to all of this. And that it's the disaster that America caused in Iraq by giving Iraq to the Shias in Iran that has consumed the rest of the region. It's not Syria influencing Iraq. It's Iraq influencing Syria. The United States said on Monday that it would speed up deliveries of military hardware, including drones and missiles. Drones. You know, we know about the Hellfire missiles. Now you're going to give them drones. Where do you think they're going to use those drones? Against Israel? You think? It has ruled out sending back troops 2 years after Washington ended 9 years of occupation. At least they're using the right terms. Invasion, occupation. So that's perfect. On one hand, we're fighting to keep Iran from building nuclear bombs. And on the other, we're providing Iran with drones and missiles. We use drones to kill those we are now giving drones to. So the very people we're giving drones to are the very people that we are using drones to kill. ISIL, they say, ISIS, for those who can actually read, has for some months been tightening its grip on Anbar, a thinly populated region the size of England, with the stated aim of creating a Sunni religious state, straddling the border into Syria's rebel-held eastern desert provinces. Yeah, that's their goal. Their goal is not to establish an Al-Qaeda state. They don't wake up in the morning and say, Osama Akbar. Osama's the greatest. They don't have an Al-Qaeda flag. They don't have an Al-Qaeda emblem. They don't have an Al-Qaeda constitution. They want to establish a Sunni religious state based upon Sunnah, which is the example of Muhammad, his words and deeds as they are presented in the Islamic Hadith. That's what they wish to do. Based upon who they have identified themselves and what they wish to accomplish, it shouldn't be all that difficult to figure out that they're Sunni Islamic jihadists. And they're at war with Shia Islamic jihadists. The BBC reported that Republican lawmakers blamed the Obama administration for the stunning resurgence of Iraq's Al-Qaeda franchise and called the White House to take assertive steps to help Baghdad beat down the militant uprisings in the country's west. Now think about that. It's the same Republican lawmakers who are trying to impose new sanctions against Iran because they don't like Obama's treaty with Iran on nuclear weapons. And so they are saying more sanctions on Iran. That's the answer here. And not recognizing that the Iraqi government is completely and totally controlled by Iran, that we made Iraq Iran West, now the Republicans want us to provide more weapons to the Iranians so that they can kill the Sunni Mujahideen that we are arming and abetting in Syria. I mean, the blue-collar, redneck comedy tour, you know, here's your sign. Well, the sign says, I'm really stupid, wear it. Well, Republican lawmakers, here's your sign. You're moronic. The charges thrust Iraq back into the forefront of U.S. politics after years during which the lengthy war and its brutal aftermath have largely been non-controversial and unmentioned in Washington. Yeah, it's uncontroversial because no one wants to deal with its reality. No one wants to accept the consequence of our invasion. And it's only until you accept the consequence that you realize how disastrous it was. And that's why I'm emphasizing this. I know we've done, you know, here's the new longer version of Shattering Myths, and every day this week we have devoted at least an hour and a half and sometimes 2 hours to this one topic. But folks, this is the opportunity. We need to seize it. This is absolute proof that what we did in Iraq was counterproductive. This is absolute proof that America is arming both sides in a conflict that there is no way to resolve, and that we are making it worse, that we become the merchants of death, that everything we have done in the Islamic world has been counterproductive, that we need to disengage. And if we can accept the consequence of our immoral, our irrational decision to invade Iraq and Afghanistan, then at least we're in a position to make wiser decisions going forward rather than to continue to exacerbate the problem as we are currently doing. This is the time to recognize that what on this program and through Yada Yada Radio and through some 3,000 radio interviews and 7,000 pages of research that's available free online at the various sites like yadayada.com, that what we've been saying for the past 12 years is true. Everything we predicted was accurate. America, wake up. Stop supporting your government. Recognize that they are the problem, not the solution. Disengage. Expose and condemn both parties. Stop rallying around your military as if they were protecting America's freedoms, because they're making America more vulnerable, less free. We have become what we once detested. House Speaker John Boehner, who is chief moron amongst the morons, called on President Obama to get engaged in Iraq, citing the fierce fighting in cities in the Anbar province where cells of al-Qaeda militants have secured footholds in recent days. Quote, the administration has chosen to spend much of its time and energy trying to explain why having terrorists holding key terrain in the Middle East is not the president's problem, end quote. Boehner told reporters at his weekly news conference. Here's your sign, pal. You are an idiot. Welcome back to Shattering This. Yes, the Republican lawmakers, chief among them, John Boehner of Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, in the suburbs of Cincinnati is his congressional district, want the United States to reengage in Iraq. And not recognizing that we would be providing the Iranians with more weapons, and that we would be having them wield our weapons against the Sunnis, which are the exact same Sunnis that we are equipping and giving weapons to in Syria. And he's incapable of seeing how stupid that is. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said the Obama administration remains deeply invested in Iraq's success and called the speaker's accusation off base. Quote, maybe he thinks that American men and women in uniform ought to be fighting today in Anbar province, Carney said. Quote, the president made a commitment to end the war in Iraq. He fulfilled that commitment, end quote. Actually, it was George Bush that finally said, you know, after we do the search thing, we're just going to get out of Iraq. And he set the timeline. And to win votes, Obama said, yeah, I'll go along with that. We need to get out. And he did what he said he was going to do. What you'll find here, of course, is that now that getting out means that we accomplished nothing and made a bad situation worse, you have Democrats who are trying to blame Bush and say, no, it was really Bush's fault. We don't want the blame for leaving Iraq. He was the one that set the timeline. But the fact is that when you're in a lose-lose proposition, the fact is that you should not have gone into a lose-lose proposition in the first place, but once you're in a lose-lose proposition, the thing to do is to leave. You know, when you're losing and there is no chance of winning, there is no reason to stay and lose more. The latest came Thursday when a suicide bomber targeted a military recruiting center in Baghdad, killing 21 people, according to the Associated Press. Of course, that was last week. This week, they killed 80 surrounding Baghdad. The problem isn't Anbar province, folks. This is a civil war between Sunni and Shia Muslims. Baghdad is not in the Anbar province, and that's where most of the carnage is taking place. Speaking of stupid, we have Senator John McClown of Arizona. He is always good for a stupid comment. He says the return of al-Qaeda to Anbar is a sobering reminder to the administration that the tide of war is not receding. Al-Qaeda has not returned to Anbar. Al-Qaeda has never been in Anbar. Al-Qaeda is not in Iraq. They had absolutely no presence in Iraq before America's invasion. Wake up, John. Think. Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda were arch enemies. If you didn't want al-Qaeda to influence anything that was happening amongst the Sunnis in Iraq, then you ought to have been against the invasion of Iraq in the first place, because Saddam Hussein was keeping them at bay. There were no al-Qaeda. In fact, there were no fundamentalist Muslim terrorists in Iraq, because Saddam Hussein hated them more than the United States did. That's all you had to do. Just do nothing. Instead, you did something, and what you did was stupid. You made the situation worse. McCain loves every war. He said, the ongoing carnage and political upheaval in Iraq represents an inexcusable outcome for the families of service members who were killed and maimed there. No. It's the result of your stupidity, John. You fanned the flames of this war. You caused it, John. The person who ought to be speaking to those family members whose children were killed or maimed there ought to be you, and it ought to be down on your knees apologizing, begging for forgiveness for your stupidity, John, for your immorality, John. The political upheaval that exists in Iraq and the ongoing carnage that exists in Iraq is because you supported the invasion of Iraq. It did not exist in Iraq before you invaded. Now it is rampant. Make the connection. Own up. Accept accountability, John McClown. What do we tell these young people and their families? McCain explained. We have to tell them their sacrifices were squandered by an administration that wanted to get out. You know, hate's not a becoming characteristic, but I tell you, it's very hard not to despise this man. If you do not despise him, there's something wrong with your moral compass. We'll return to that statement when Shattering This continues after the break. So John McCain is whining. He wanted to stay and play war in Iraq. Yes, he wanted more Americans to die for nothing. So he says, what do we tell these young people and their families? McClain exclaimed. We have to tell them that their sacrifice was squandered by an administration that wanted to get out. Since he asked, Mr. McClown, you should reach out to these families. You should go and meet with every single one of them. You should look the parents, the brothers, the sisters, the wives, and the children in the eye and admit that invading Iraq was the result of an error in judgment, that you yourself made a horrible mistake. You, John, and every politician who authorized the war, every American who voted for them should apologize for the destruction of two countries and the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, the squandering of $4 trillion, all to make a bad situation much worse. It's called accountability. Owning up to your mistakes. You ought to do it, John. Senator Carl Levine, a Democrat from Michigan, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, noted in a statement that it was the Bush administration that set the end of 2011 as the deadline to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. It really doesn't make any difference. There's no reason to blame the Obama administration. The Bush administration is far more culpable as it relates to Iraq, not just with the withdrawal, but with the arming of the Sunnis, which is creating the current conflict in Fallujah, an arming of the Shiite government, which is harassing them, devastating them, and, of course, invading Iraq in the first place on the basis of a bunch of lies. You know, the Bush administration is infinitely more culpable than the Obama administration relative to Iraq and to Afghanistan. You got to be really careful, Republicans. Levine was simply deflecting responsibility. Blame Bush, not Obama. Ours, not Dems. But they ought to get their own message straight. Obama took credit for doing what the Democrats are now blaming on Bush. You either take credit for it or you blame it on somebody else. You can't have it both ways. This is a continuation of Levine's statement. He said the administration supports the Iraqi government. Not recognizing the Iraqi government is the Iranian government, which has requested expedited shipments of attack helicopters and other heavy weapons. So, heavy weapons, medium weapons, light weapons. Attack helicopters, tanks, armored personnel carriers, hellfire missiles. That's what they've asked for. You tell me how those tools are the right tools to use, to deploy against, even if you were to believe the myth that there are embedded jihadists amongst a peaceful Sunni community. You tell me how any one of those tools, an attack helicopter, heavy weapons, tanks, hellfire missiles, artillery, is the right weapon to wield to root out fundamentalist Islamic terrorists from a Sunni-dominated community. How is it? I mean, in your wildest imagination, you come up with a scenario, and if you come up with one, you call me. So I say here, yeah, the Republicans have egg all over their face. They ought to be really, really, really quiet in this. They ought to really repent for the carnage that they have caused. But Democrats, you're no better. But here's Carl Levine, the head of the Armed Services Committee, continued. He said that the administration should support the Iraqi government and expedite shipments of attack helicopters and other heavy weapons. But he says, but not without guarantees. You're going to get a guarantee from an Islamic country? Have you not ever studied or read about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? Do you know its place in the Quran? And if you don't know it, why are you making decisions about something you know nothing about? He went on to say, and this is a quote, the issue here is not whether such aircraft would help Iraq fight violent extremism. They would, he said. The question is whether the Maliki government would use them only against violent extremists and not to further sectarian political objectives. Wow. First of all, why don't you come up with a scenario for me that tells me, that tells someone, tells anyone, how the use of a Hellfire missile and Apache attack helicopters is going to be an effective tool to use against Sunni jihadists who are living among and are part of the community of Sunni Muslims in an urban center like Fallujah. Why don't you tell me how that can be used and not have devastating effect on the civilians in that community? So, can the attack helicopters and other heavy weapons, including missiles, be used to deter and fight violent extremism? No. They are violent. They are extreme. You've got the foot on the wrong hand. It can't be. They wouldn't. They would make the situation worse, which is what we did when we wielded them. Learn from our own experience, Carl Levine. When we wielded these same weapons, We cause the same calamity. And there's no question that Malaki's government is going to use them to further, not sectarian political objectives, to further Shia political objectives, and thus in cohorts with Iran, and thus against the Sunni rebels that America is arming and aligning with in Syria. Senator Levine's premise shows that he is ignorant of Islam, and his answer to the initial question is not only wrong, the opposite would occur. Just imagine the cause of the, or just examine, I should say, the cause of the current crisis, the use of helicopters and other heavy weapons on Sunni protesters. I mean, that is what caused the current uprising in Fallujah. And it was our deployment of them that broke Fallujah in the first place. But then it was the Shiite government's deployment of these same weapons against the civilians of Fallujah that brought this to a boil. And so now the solution is to do that all over again. You know, they call that insanity. But you'll notice that he did not answer a second question, because when extremist is correctly replaced with Sunnis, and when sectarian is appropriately replaced with Shiites, and when Shiite is properly associated with Iran, every politician and every military officer in America becomes a traitor for having armed and equipped America's most threatening foe. The article continues, adding to worries about how additional U.S. military aid could be used, Human Rights Watch said Thursday that it was concerned by reports of indiscriminate shelling by Iraqi security forces in Ramadi. You say Fallujah is not the only problem. It's also Ramadi. It's also, of course, Baghdad. So what is the Iraqi government doing? They're deploying American artillery to shell Ramadi. Now, when Saddam Hussein uses it to shell Sunni Muslim insurgents, Sunni Muslim terrorists in Syria, we cry foul. But when American weapons are used by the Shiite Iranian government in Iraq, we cheer for them. Say, you want some more bombs? You want some more missiles? You want some more artillery shells? Here, have fun. Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican of Illinois and Air Force pilot who served in Iraq, said in an interview Thursday that the Obama administration should move more aggressively to aid Iraq's security forces. He advocated the deployment of U.S. aircraft to help the Iraqis find targets. Yeah, okay, great. So let's go fly our fighters over Iraq. Yeah, perfect. And then maybe these missiles that we have given the Iraqis can be used to shoot down the American airplanes. Perfect, right? What a wonderful solution. Perhaps we ought to replace Republican with the representatives of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Maybe that would be a new label for them. This same senator says, if I start talking about Iraq, people's eyes glaze over. He said, I think Americans are weary. And we are in a moment now where if we fail to do the right thing, we could make it worse. Well, it's been our failure to do the right thing all along that has made it worse, which is why this moment, and I know I'm continuing to beat on this, and you, listeners, you may be getting weary of it, and I understand that. But if we do not capitalize on this time to slap ourselves in the collective face to say, wake up, we caused this problem. Here are the consequences. The problem we caused cannot be resolved, but we don't need to exacerbate it. The problem we caused, we broke a country. We gave a country that was the enemy of Iran to Iran. This led to the Syrian civil war, a proxy war, which has China and Russia on one side and the U.S. and Europe on the other. We're arming both sides. Tens of thousands of people are dying. Everything we touch in this part of the world has become a disaster. It's time for us to let go, to admit that we were wrong. The American invasion of Iraq has led to the death of 1 million people. It led to the annihilation of Iraqi Christians. It cost 6,000 American lives. The number is probably closer to 160,000, as we will consider before long. It squandered $4 trillion. It destroyed the country. It increased terrorism exponentially. It ignited a civil war. It removed a secular dictator who was successful fighting terrorism and who fought Iran to a stalemate, and established an Iranian Shiite government in Iraq in its place. Giving Iraq to Iran, it led directly to the Syrian civil war. And the Shiite-Sunni proxy war in Syria is not only spreading across the Middle East, with Sunnis murdering Shia. The goal of every Sunni Muslim is to establish a united Islamic state, and from it to conquer the world. And let us not forget, with Russia and China on one side and the U.S. and Europe on the other, the unstoppable and irresolvable war America caused will be the catalyst for World War III. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There is a solution for all of this, and that solution is to embrace what Yahweh said. Before I go into the Torah presentation today, I do want to give Yahweh a shout out, as they say today. I am in the midst of retranslating and writing a chapter for the book Yada Yah that is devoted to analyzing what Yahweh reveals in the 17th and 18th chapter of a prophet whose actual name is Yasha Ya'u, which means salvation is from Yahweh, that's been corrupted to Isaiah. The 17th and 18th chapters of Yasha Ya'u begin in Damascus. And they go directly to a nation that where there are a dozen attributes that describe no other place on earth other than America. And what it says is that not only Damascus will be destroyed, but that so will Greater Syria. And Greater Syria represents the dominion that the Muslims had at the height of their power when they were headquartered in Damascus. And it goes on to besmirch the individuals who bring this destructive rampage upon themselves, and says that it is that while they have done so because of a desire to destroy Israel, God tells us that yes, Damascus is going to be destroyed, as will be Greater Syria. But as for Israel, it will continue to live forever. Muslims have put a stake in the sand. The center of Islamic rage right now is Damascus. Syria is the war that is serving as the catalyst and the throttle for what will be World War III. When I first translated that passage more than a decade ago, I did not understand why this condemnation of the United States existed in a prophecy that began in Damascus. Well, now I do. So do you. We caused that war. We armed both sides in that war. That's the proxy war that's going to lead to a world war, which is something else that I did not understand, as to how this Magog war, which is an all-Islamic attack against Israel, was going in its second phase to become a global war with a nuclear holocaust taking place as a result. The northern hemisphere of the world is essentially destroyed. The descriptive testimony of Yahweh is the elements themselves melt with intense heat, and that one-third of the world's landmass becomes uninhabitable. Now, we now know. We've got China and Russia on one side, and the United States and Europe on the other, in this proxy war in Damascus, Syria. A war that is caused directly by America's interference. Our invasion of Iraq is the thing that started this war. So I just always enjoy. I mean, this is sad news, but nonetheless, I enjoy learning. And Yahweh Torah teaching that permeates his prophets is so enormously revealing. And so the thing that I did not understand, because I have no basis to understand it, I had no idea that there would be a war in Damascus, Syria, that would be of America's making, that was going to lead not only to the Magog War and be the throttling mechanism for that war, but that it would also erupt into a world war prior to seeing all of these events transpire over the last 5 or 6 years. But now that they have, once again, Yahweh has demonstrated that he inspired his prophets, that he spoke through his prophets, that he revealed future history to us through the prophets. This prophecy, by the way, and we'll get into it in detail in a future show, has America's largest cities completely destroyed because we aided and abetted the Muslims. We gave them large swaths of Israel. We looted Israel, thinning the nation of the waste, which means we gave them Gaza and then the West Bank, which is what the Obama administration and the Bush administration before them have sought to accomplish. We will ultimately accomplish that goal. And like Neville Chamberlain, with peace in our time, it's going to lead directly to this world war that is on our horizon. And so God has said that the same thing will happen to the United States that happened to Britain after achieving peace in our time. Our largest cities will be destroyed. That is the fate that awaits this country. That's why we listen to what Yahweh has to say.